Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and it's good to be back here tonight and getting back with the study again. And our study is, you know, is based on these last seven letters that Paul wrote after he got this mysterion truth. And I guess many of us have already went over it a time or two or three, but it's kind of like going over plowed field again, because you always see things that you maybe didn't see beforehand. And so it's really good to get it refreshed in your mind that this is basically our vocation. That's what's been left for us, that we can share with other people. And that this is basically the way it was laid out and given to Paul to give to us, that we might do that. And so here we are again. We're in Colossians 2. I think we went through verse 8, 9, and 10 last time, 2 weeks ago. And so we're going to pick up with verse 11 of Colossians 2 to tonight, and go as far as we can go there. And in our study of wisdom and in Jack's interlinear, the workman's interlinear. And by the way, in Colossians 2, and of course this is study 98, I'll go ahead and say this before I forget it. And tonight's study is the 30th day of June, 2021. So the year's half gone. And that's just hard to believe, really.
Yep.
No wonder I'm getting older. It seems like somebody
What's the song say? Don't blink.
Sped it up. Yeah, it got speeded up somehow or another. And verse 8 through 23 here in Colossians 2 is looked upon as doctrinal correction. And of course, last time we started off with verse 8, which is really a caution, or it says beware, or bleepo. If beware can be bleepo at times, and means to see to it. And Paul wanted us to see to it that what it is laid out here in these several verses, well through the rest of the chapter, is things that we need to refresh our mind with. And certainly it's a good idea that we do that. So we're going to go down to 11, and we'll pick it up with 11. And all this, of course, is dealing with Christ and what is here concerning Him being the head, and what He did. Maybe that we didn't get a full understanding of, or didn't see all the aspects of it as we go through it. So it starts off, in whom. I'm going to read the King James Version first. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So you see in 11 here, he's talking about these ordinances that were done away with by Christ on the cross, and the things that He did there. And then I'll read you my notes. It says, in whom ye are in whom ye are risen also, I think is the way that should be put forth, ye are risen, also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, that were made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. And this is the circumcision of Christ, and this is a full stop. And so by what he did for us, and we're going to be dealing with these things down through what I said, verse 23 through the end of the chapter. Of course, we're not going to get all the way through there tonight, but the way we're looking at it is takes a little more time, but it's really worthwhile quite often that we see and understand these things. So we realize that our circumcision is because of what Christ did, made without hands. It was the will of God that be worked in that way because of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so, having read that, I'm going to read you what it comes down out of the Koine Greek. Sometimes it's not very close, and sometimes it's real close. So 11 here. It says, in whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision not made in the putting off of the body of the flesh, but in the circumcision of the Christ. And whenever you read it in the more modern English version, it says, in whom you were circumcised with circumcision not made in the putting off the body of flesh, but in the circumcision of the Christ. And this is Jack's notes that he and Mel put in here to go with it. And I was looking at their picture that Mel had given me when we were up there back in the fall of the year before she went to Arizona. And she gave me a wonderful picture of her and Jack, and I got it stuck in a picture frame, but it's not framed in, it's just in the picture frame. So we read this, you are circumcised with a different circumcision. Although these believers may have had a physical circumcision, but they were not circumcised with a totally different one. This circumcision dealt with the entire body, not just a part of a body. Furthermore, this one is internal rather than external. The circumcision comes not from Moses, the patriarchs, but from Christ only. So this is this circumcision is one that is really truly different from that the Israelites or the Hebrews had. Because of the way it was done and how it was done and the reason for it being done. And so we're going to look at several verses of scripture here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So Jack laid some scripture on us tonight. And turn with me back to the book of Mark. And that's where the first one is in the book of Mark. And it's Mark 14:58. Let's see, In 14:58 of Mark says, "And we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." So this was, of course, him talking about his death and being in the ground 3 days and then being raised again the third day to finish the first part of his finished work. Okay, 2 Corinthians is next. 2 Corinthians 5:1. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians. If I can get out of the book of Acts. Second Corinthians 5:1. Here we go. Second Corinthians 5:1. That's on page 1784. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," this is our body now, "we're dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So you can begin to see what Jack's getting at here, because what Christ was doing was going to be something that was not made with hands. And we're looking at these ways that it's been put forth here in Scripture to show us that it's truly from Christ there. So 2 Corinthians 5:1. Okay, we're going to go to Galatians 5:24 on page 1757. If you have a companion Bible. And it was Galatians 5:24. Okay. 5:24 says this. He's talking about the fruits of the Spirit and how we should act. And then in 24 it says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust." So he is telling us here that if we have been crucified this way, that it's been done because of afflictions and lust. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Is 1 John 2:16. So we got to go over a few books to get to 1 John. And we'll get there in a minute. And I went to 1 John 2:16. And it's on page 1872. And it said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world." And it says in 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God and abide forever. So that was 1 John. Now let's turn back and go back to Ephesians 2:11. I like for them to run in order, but they don't sometimes do that. And Jack.
He didn't do the honor of putting it in canonical order, did he?
No, Jack was not one. He didn't really do it for me. But he did. And he knew. He says, wherefore, Ephesians 2:11, 17:63, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, in the flesh made with hands, and at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And here's one of Paul's great things. The but now is there in Ephesians 2:13. Okay, let's look at Philippians 3:3. Let's go over a few pages. And we'll get down to 1777. Philippians 3, verse 3. And it says, for ye are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Because you see, the things that Paul was given to tell us was not to go back to the rudiments of the things that were in the past. But what Christ did for us should be in our minds that we can literally talk and discuss with other people and show them that there was a shift or a change made here. Ronnie did a beautiful study Sunday, last Sunday, in his ending of prayer, and it was so great because it showed the difference in the different dispensations or economies, that how prayer was done. And you know, when you put them together like that and you do one right after the other, then you see the difference, and it can be just, you know, it's just an eye-opening thing there. Okay, we got one more here. Let's go back to Romans and look at Romans 2:29. And we'll go to the next verse of Scripture. Romans 2:29, let me find it here. Okay. Romans 2:29 is the last verse in chapter 2. And let's look at 28:29. It says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You see, there was a reason why the Jewish circumcision was outwardly. And it wasn't hard to realize that if you go to the bathroom 2 or 3 times a day, you were reminded that you were a child of God if you were a male Jew. But here, we need to be reminded all the time. That's like praying all the time. We need that reminder there that, well, what we have now is different. It's inwardly. It comes from Christ.
Amen.
And it comes from part of his finished work. And this is not the last verse that's going to kind of take up with those kind of things. But this is what 11 really told us. So let's get down to 12 and read 12. Circumcision is one, and then here again, talking about being buried. Buried, and I'll just read the King James Version, 2:12, Colossians. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him, Christ, from the dead. So you see, when Christ went to the cross, he and the Father had made the agreement that the Son would do this even before man was ever made, even before he ever created anything. And we were chosen there. And so when Christ came and did this, and the resurrection was made, that he could come forth out of the grave there, then that made the faith quite different, because now we have the ability to tap in to the faith of Christ, because ours is not very much good. Buried with him. Let me read my notes. Buried with him in baptism, or his baptism unto death, were also in whom ye are risen. And the Greek word for that, if I can pronounce it, is son Egerio, son Egerio. And if you go back to appendix 104 in the companion Bible notes, it is the word meta of 16, and it means prefixed, or it gives us an association with and companionship with. So you see, we being in Christ now have this association and this companionship with those things that happened to Christ, and with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. So you see, the operation of God that raised his son from the dead was actually a reward for doing what he said he would do in the beginning, or whenever it was they agreed to this in 12 there. So when you stop and think about that a little bit, I kind of look at the faith of Christ as kind of like us going off on a vacation or something, and we go somewhere where they've got this cable that goes across a lake or across a gorge or something. A zip line.
Yeah.
And you get up in that zip line and you clip on to it. Well, you're putting yourself
a lot of faith in the line.
In the faith in whoever put that zip line out. Well, this is God's zip line, was his son. And so you are in Christ. And so his faith is that we can clip into, and it will take us to the end of the journey, wherever it is.
That's a good analogy.
And so that's one way of looking at it. I have these funny ways of looking at things sometimes. But you see, the Lord has given me the opportunity to see things of the world too. So you get wisdom from worldly stuff just like you do from God. But the things of the world is not nearly as important as the things you get from God. So let's read what they put in the Koine Greek. In verse 12 it says, having been buried with him in the baptism, which also you were raised through the faith of the working of the God who raised him, Christ, out of the dead. Now, in the English, having been buried with him in the baptism, in which also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, who raised him out from the dead. So, pretty close. That one's pretty close. Jack says this in his notes. The cardinal truth of his holy word is that there is one baptism. And people don't seem to understand that.
Nope.
Is one baptism. It is strange that some would speak strongly on this verse and others refer to, yet they would forwardly foist on God's word the insertion of a water ritual. No water ritual or portion of God's H2O creation are included in these blessed words on God's actual baptism. He buried and he raised. None of this is waterborne. Water doesn't have anything to do with that. The raising is from the dead, not from a baptism of a body of water. And listen, hearken only to God's word to rightly divide it. So that was Jack's way of putting it forth. So there's three or four places here that we also need to look at too. Two or three places in Ephesians. So we're going to go first to Ephesians 1:19 and 20. Ephesians 1:19-20. Shouldn't be hard to find. One's on one page if you got a companion Bible, and one's on the other. I'll put it that way. 1:19-20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working or the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And I'll just add this one little note in 21 there. He says, far above all principality and power. Because we're going to get into that a little bit. So, remember, he was seated far above all principality and power. Why? Well, we're going to find out. We might not find out tonight, but if we don't find out tonight, we'll find out in the next study. Okay? Now, that was Ephesians 1. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we're going to read 4 through 6. And that's on pages 1765 if you have a CB. It says, there is one body. Okay, here we go. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
So that is another thing we want to look at. Now, let's go to Romans. Let's go back to Romans 6. Seems like there's quite a bit of this in that Jack brings up out of Romans. And lately, and we'll go back there and look at it. Romans 6. What was it? Romans 6:12. No. Romans 6, verses 2 through 6. On page 1673. Romans 6, 2 through 6. Here we go. Well, I like to start off at the start and said, do 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? You see, this is the difference between that and water baptism.
Amen.
Because we're understood that that be that way. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Full stop. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Wonderful.
That's faith.
Understand. Thank you so much for that word there. Okay, let's go back and pick up 13 of Colossians 2. If I can get back there, I lost my bookmark out of it. 13. Okay, reading it out of the King James Version. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So that's 13 out of King James Version. Here's my notes. And you being at that time, dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your faith, hath he quickened together. That is to be made alive together with him and Christ, having forgiven you all of those trespasses or sins. And these again, as I made a point in my notes, were taken care of or done away with in Christ. So all these are done away with in Christ. So Let's go back to Ephesians 2 again. Oh, wait. Let's read it, though, in out of the Koine Greek. I get ahead of myself sometimes. And it says, "And you dead being in the offenses and in uncircumcision, the flesh of you, being quickened together, you with him, having forgiven us all the offenses." And we'll read it in the more modern English. "And you being dead in the offenses and in your uncircumcision faith, flesh, being quickened together with him, having forgiven us of all offenses." And here's Jack's notes. The unbelieving is dead of his offenses. Not of his offenses, but the unbeliever is dead in his offenses. He has the uncircumcised heart. Yet you believe, walked in the way until one day you were quickened together with him. He brought you and raised you with him to give you life. He forgave you of all your muddy offenses and lifted you out of that mire. Your story is now from death to life by the grace and the power of God. And so we're going to look at Ephesians 2 verses 1, 5, and verses chapter 2, 1 and 5 of Ephesians. Back to Ephesians 2. So we're getting back to the where we started this. And quite often, and it is, he said, "And you hath he quickened," in Ephesians 2:1, "who were dead in trespasses and sin."
See the correlation a lot between Colossians and Ephesians.
Huh?
You see the correlation a lot between Ephesians and Colossians a lot.
And then drop down to 5. It says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, that's the first part of that. Okay. And then let's look at verse 11. Again, we just read it, but we'll read it again. "Wherefore remember that being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh that was made by hands." Okay, now we're going to look at Romans 6:11. Let's go back to Romans. And look at Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11 on page 1673 says this: "Likewise, reckon we also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And I just added that other verse to it. Okay, we want to go back to Luke 7. Haven't been in Luke lately much. And in Luke 7, let's see, it's probably it right here. Yeah, Luke 7:42. And it says this. I'll just read 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? So there was a judgment there that was being offered, and there was questions there of which one would have the biggest deal with the debt that was going to be settled. But when you settle a debt with nothing, both of them are equal. Mm-hmm. Is that not right? You see, that's the way God works. He equals it out, or does it? By the way, okay, let's go back to Matthew. While we're this far over here, let's go to Matthew 6. Okay, we found Matthew 6. We're going to look at 6:14. Okay, that's on page 1320. Yeah. Because it says this, "For if I forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So, in this dispensation, it goes back to the one that owed a lot more than the other owed. So you see the difference there. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 2. Jack kind of jumped around on us a little bit here. 2 Corinthians 2. And we're going to look at 7 through 10. And this is on page 1730. It says this. "So that contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For this is to the end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ." So that was 13. How much time we got left, bro?
It's 9:19.
Okay. Let's do 14. Then, and we'll do 14, and we'll leave 15 for next time. Colossians 2:14 says this, talking about what Christ did and the corrections that Christ was making between the other dispensations and this dispensation. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to, it says his cross, but it says in the notes it should be to the cross. Now.
Because there was only one.
Yeah, there was only one.
Well, there were more, but there was only one.
His and thee are basically the same thing here when we're talking. Okay. Oh, it says blotting out. And in the times that these writings were written, it was probably done in ink. So we could call it somehow erasing it, or we can do white out now in our time. So,
yeah.
But if it was in the other way of making this out, it could be erased out. The handwriting. In handwriting there is the word cleographion, is, I guess, another way of using the ink situation there. The handwriting of ordinances, the rules, ordinances there are rules or laws that was against us. So when that was against us was installed in there, we can understand that it was not for this administration or this dispensation. Because it says, which was contrary to us. So what Paul is trying to get to us now is we don't need to go back to these things that were written down. We don't need to go back to these things that were done this way, because Paul now says that Christ has taken care of all that for us.
Amen.
You know, so think about that as we read this thing. So, blotting out or literally erasing the handwriting of ordinances, the rules of the law, that was against us or not for this administration, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way. So it was taken from our path, because these things were done when people were generally walking wherever they went. It wasn't a ride every time like it is today, like you can get in your vehicle or get on some mode of two-wheel transportation.
You gotta remember too, when Paul says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, those ordinances only applied to Israel anyway. So you know he's talking to the Israelites here that he's preaching the mystery to.
They're the only ones who ever
had that the ordinances applying to them, and they were the only ones that the ordinances could be taken away from. But you see the implication there is that they're, you know, we're twice removed from that, because the ordinances never applied to the Gentiles to start with.
Okay, let me finish reading that. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, or from our path, or our walk, nailing it to his, or the cross. And that, my friend, is true salvation.
The ordinances were crucified.
Yeah, they were crucified too.
Right along with them.
And so this is really the nuts and the bolts of salvation here is what he did on the cross.
Amen.
For mankind that mankind couldn't do for mm-hmm. himself. Okay. Let's look at the notes right quick. Or look at what the coin eight says. Having blotted out the against us handwriting in the decrees which was adverse to us, also he was taken out of the midst, having nailed it to the cross. Having blotted out the handwriting and decrees which was against us, that was also adverse to us, he has taken out of the midst, having nailed it to the cross. Well, here's the picture of the legal decrees against us from the ordinances of law, from the ordinances and laws of the mighty God. Our picture is one of hopelessness. We had neither the power nor the inclination to keep handwritten ordinances. These obstacles stopped us at every turn. There is no escape. They stand as giant obstacles in our continuous presence. What hope do we have? He takes these huge impeditory tones and removes them from our midst. Where have they gone? Who has saved us? He is our loving and forgiving Savior, and he has taken them to his cross and nailed them there. Hallelujah, we're saved.
And it literally was all that killed him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have any sin in himself.
That's what he
So he had to take it from somewhere.
Yeah. That's what he took. Okay. Right quick. Go back to Romans. Surely your Bible just might be arrowed open there. Romans 3. I've got so many bookmarks there. Let's see, Romans 3:19. Yeah. We're going to look at Romans 3:19. That's on page 1668. And it says this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Let's look at another. Turn to 4:15. That's just one page over if you have a companion Bible. 4:15. It says, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, one more time. 5:20. Turn the page again. 5:20 says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. So, we see what Jack is putting forth there, in Romans. Let's go back to Ephesians 2 again, because we just about read it all. Just about read it all tonight. Ephesians 2:15. And I may have already read it. I don't know. Because I added some to what Jack had put down on the other. 2:15 says this. having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That's what he did. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain, of the two, one new man, so making peace. And I want to turn to Galatians 3. Back to Galatians 3. And read Galatians 3:23. Okay, that's on page 1754. It says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterward be revealed.
Yeah.
So here in Galatians, we get just a little bit now. We see just a little bit of what Paul could write about now that he wrote about before, but we may have not recognized it when we read it, when we read it. See, but before faith came, before Christ gave that life up, he gave that blood on the cross. He did that work that he did. And it was faithful because he had promised to God that he would do that. And we didn't have that faith then. We were kept under the law. That makes sense. Shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Well, here it is revealed now. You see how it works?
Mm-hmm.
How true it is. Wonderful things that God has put in his work. And we'll wait till verse 15 and we'll start there with the principalities and powers. We didn't quite get that far tonight. Did pretty good though with as we've been going. But
the verses you went over tonight, man, those are thick.
Yeah.
That kind of tells
the story because you get little bits and pieces of these things that God shows to us from time to time. And then when you put them together, it was kind of like your study last week in prayer. Because when you put them in and you slot them in the
really
places where they need
on.
To go,
yep.
You can see the great difference in them rather than the little difference.
Yeah, amen.
And so this is the way the Word of God is written. And people say, oh, it's full of stuff, but you know, and it's written by lots of men, but you see a lot of these men had this little parts of it. And when we can see it all, then it makes greater sense.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us tonight. It's good to be back and doing it again. I missed it for sure because it's been a part of my life for a long time now and on Wednesday nights. And so thank you for being with us, and I hope that you are getting something great out of it, because certainly I am, because I think sometimes the moderator is the one that gets the greater advantage of it.
That is a fact.
Because I ain't going to say I have all kinds of time, but I have enough time to get into it a little deeper than maybe we sometimes do by just reading. Thank you again. God bless you all.